Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. I'll look back at the second day's play in the fourth test from the SCG. Mercifully free, or relatively free, from the weather after the morning session, which had a few showers interrupting the play. Fairly inevitable progress, I suppose, by Australia. Nothing to write home about from England, although Stuart Broad took his five wickets. And England, actually, the one good thing is they survived till the close. Five overs from Stark and Cummins, and Crawley getting out off a no ball. So just a chink of light. Maybe the worm has turned, Simon.
That's a very optimistic way of looking at it, Yoz. Well, but it was a bonus for England, wasn't it? It was a lift. Crawley walking off, out for naught, and then, hold on a second, suggestion from the umpire there might have been a no ball, and yes, there was. It was really tight to the line, and I've seen those in the past. It was a no ball. I've seen those in the past just go in the bowler's favour. They say, well, there might have been just a fraction of his foot behind the line, when all of us looking on think, hold on a second, is there really? And but he was reprieved, and that was a big bonus for England. And it's something that's happened to Australia in this series. England done it a couple of times, notably Stokes bowling Warner at the Gabba, which felt like a big moment, and one has gone England's way. And Stark actually doesn't bowl many no balls, so it was a rarity. I know they haven't been calling them as much, you know, in recent years, but even when they started calling them, he hasn't been bowling no balls. So a big lift for Crawley. What about this surface, though? And Australia made 416. They scored 400 again for the third time in their first innings in the series. But we saw the ball misbehaving a bit on the second day. And you just wonder, you know, generally speaking, when the ball misbehaves and bounces a bit, there's some uneven bounce. It's mainly up rather than down. We saw one ball from Wood that was that kept very low. Mainly it's been up. You know, generally surfaces don't get better. So you feel is a big test ahead for England if they're to stroke... save, well, winning the game seems beyond them, but to save the game, and you know, still 3 days to go, a difficult task for them.
Yes, it does. It does seem that way. Obviously, the challenges for England's batsmen on the third day will be intriguing to watch. And by the way, in the second half of this programme today, we have some interesting, quite strong views about coaching and about batting technique from somebody who was in the firing line for England not so long ago. Nick Compton was in our virtual cricket club last night and had some very poignant things to say about the art of coaching and the application of technique in Test cricket. So we'll listen to that a few clips that we've got from him after the break. But I suppose first, you're right about the pitch. And in fact, I go back to the first ball of the whole match, which was Anderson to Warner, and just short of a length, climbed into his gloves and really took him by surprise. And there have been a few balls like that in the play so far, particularly Cummins made a couple lift alarmingly in that last session. And it's just about hammering away at that length, which England, well, you know, Anderson and Broad aren't quite as quick as Cummins, and Wood isn't quite as tall as Cummins. So they didn't quite have the ingredients there to really exploit this pitch. And I think looking at the way the ball has behaved, it feels like, and I know you haven't had the chance to actually go out and look at the wicket, but it feels like a pitch which occasionally goes through the top, which suggests it's very dry. And therefore, the spinner, Nathan Lyon, is definitely going to come into it as well. There's bounce for him, and there's some turn. Jack Leach got a little bit of spin. Nathan Lyon will probably turn it more, make it bounce more. And Joe Root's wicket of, I think it was Alex Carey, slogging one up in the air. That turn from a little bit of rough, but not, but you know, rough that was relatively close to the off stump. So I think it's going to be tough for England. Several left-handers in the top seven, and well, less than they were actually, of course, without Burns in the side. But certainly Stokes and Milan will have their work cut out batting against Lyon. But clearly that the challenge will be surviving the first 15 overs with that new ball, where it is going to bounce off a length, undoubtedly. And it's just a question of whether you can get your gloves out of the way in time.
Yeah, I thought what we saw today was why both captains wanted to bat first yesterday. Because, you know, when we were looking at it from a distance, and you do like to go out onto the into the middle and feel the pitch, whatever, have a look at it, see what it looks like, and just perhaps put your hand on it as well to see, you know, how dry it is, whatever. And we weren't able to do that. No one was able to do that in our Test Match Special team. So looking on from afar, it was green, you know, greener than last time at Sydney. And the overhead conditions were looked really favourable for bowling. And we knew it was going to be a truncated day, sort of on-off sort of day. And normally those sort of days generally favour the bowling side because you can't really get any momentum into your batting. But both captains, you know, were adamant about batting first. Cummins really decisive about it, and Root said, yeah, we probably would have batted as well, you know, despite all, you know, the conditions. And I think today we saw why, because there is some dryness there, and it could well be tricky. Quite a few batters wrapped on the gloves. I think the frustrating thing for England is, generally speaking, there was one from Broad that where he got Cummins caught behind from a short ball that he didn't play particularly well. The ones that hit the glove just went down or wide of fielders or whatever. You know, and Mark Wood bowled really well. Stuart Broad did an interview afterwards. He took the five for today, five for 101. But he said, you know, to be fair, I probably got some of his wickets. You know, he deserved the five for. He bowled well enough to take wickets, and he really has stuck at it. We talked a bit about it last night, but exactly the same again today. Ran in average speed of 145. Kilometres per hour, and he's kept his speeds up throughout the series, and he didn't have any luck today. He actually did get one given out, but wouldn't you know it, it was off Stark's arm guard as it went through to Butler. It wasn't off the glove, so he was denied a wicket, quite rightly. I'm not complaining about that, quite right. But you know, it's almost been his tour, Mark Wood. He's been impressive, but he hasn't been able to make the decisive breakthroughs. But you know, the fact he was able to get the ball to Leap and Anderson too as well. You mentioned the first ball of the match. Anderson was getting the ball to rise. Yeah, it could well be tough times ahead for England's batsmen. And they haven't, of course, scored 300 so far collectively in this series.
I mean, I feel for Mark Wood, because you're right, he puts in so much effort. I still think that he could learn the art of taking wickets a bit more. And I think actually he'd spend a bit of time with Stuart Broad, maybe even look back at some of Stuart Broad's overs, because Broad has made absolutely the most out of his ability. He's not that quick, you know, in terms of real genuine fast bowlers, but he's so thoughtful. And I mean, I even like the way when he was bowling to Steve Smith, you know, there was a few sort of early deliveries and Smith survived them, and then he was going outside off stump as he usually does. And so England started with putting a leg slip and a sort of short leg, and Broad went leg stump. And there was a couple of balls he bowled miles down the leg side, and Smith did a sort of exaggerated leave. But you could see Broad's mind thinking, working, trying to figure out a way of undermining that batsman and, you know, tinkering with his method and getting him out, finding a way of getting him out. And that's why he's been so successful, because he's got skills and perception. And I think Wood, you know, for all his tremendous effort, hasn't yet quite nailed, how am I going to get this batsman out? How can I move him round the crease and then nail him with one that's a wobble seam delivery? He's learning all the time. But and why I say that is, you know, I was chatting to him earlier in the year when we were making this documentary, and I said to him, have you thought about, you know, a slower ball in Test cricket? And he said, well, you know, I'm still working on my slower ball. Well, you know, he's in his, I think, early 30s now, isn't he? He's been playing, yeah, I mean, he's been playing professional cricket for 12 years or something. You know, you should have those sort of skills ingrained by now. So all I'm saying is I'm not trying to be critical. I mean, he's a tremendous trier, worker, you know, effervescent, energetic, enthusiastic. Just he probably lacks that bit of bowling nous to get those wickets, to make the most of his ability, which undoubtedly Stuart Broad does.
And one factor that was against England today for most of the day as well is that they were a bowler down. Four-man pace attack, Jack Leach to bowl, spin. But Ben Stokes, he just pulled up with a side problem. And as you know, as a bowler, if you get a problem with your side, then, you know, that's major problems. That is, you know, potentially not bowling for quite a long time. England said he had some sort of tightness in his side, but we'll see on that one. I think, you know, my hunch is I'd be very surprised if he bowls again in the series. You know, we got another test match, you know, next week in Hobart. And what can you do with a side injury? Nothing. You have to let it heal. And we've seen Josh Hazlewood had what do they call it? Here's at the slight
intercostal.
Yeah, well, they said a slight side problem. And that was a really slight, you know, issue he had. And what, he's not played the last three test matches. It just shows you that. So you wonder whether Ben Stokes' participation as a bowler in this series has come to an end. I'd be very surprised if it hasn't. So what that meant was that, you know, there was more emphasis on Anderson, Wood and Broad, you know, to bowl the overs. And the spin was largely ineffective, I should say. Jack Leach, he did bowl a couple of maidens today, and saw that, you know.
Yeah, I could hear your sort of irony on commentary, or someone's irony on commentary, when he did actually produce a maiden over. In fact, it was you, wasn't it? And I'd just like to talk about Jack Leach a bit, because it frustrates me. You know, there's something not quite right about his action, and therefore he doesn't really get the ball to drift into the right-handers or away from the left-handers. That's why he bowls a negative line most of the time. That's why he doesn't give the ball much air, because there's nothing on the ball, really, because his action isn't quite right. And what was disappointing was that one drop catch, Khawaja propping outside off stump to Leach, and the ball ricocheting off Joss Butler's thigh and his glove, and Root fumbling it. Very difficult chance, to be honest, you know, because you only see it right at the last second after it's come off Butler's body, and that was a very difficult catch, actually. It didn't go that quick, but he only saw it right at the last second instead of seeing it right off the edge of the bat. You know, there was various deflections. It's a bit like a goalkeeper, you know, slightly going the wrong way after a free kick is deflected by the wall. You know, it's really tough because your balance is all wrong. But there weren't enough balls from Leach outside off stump to Khawaja. He just bowled that fairly negative leg stump line most of the time. The batsman was working it away on the leg side, didn't draw him forward enough until he was in anyway. There needed to be more balls outside off stump to challenge both sides, both edges of the bat. And when he did bowl one there, it did get the edge. So, you know, it's disappointing. Leach, for me, was just as a fill-in bowler, really. You know, he didn't bowl badly, but he just didn't ask any real questions except that one time. And, you know, when you've also lost a bowler, Stokes, gone off injured, you're kind of, you know, you're leaving your captain bereft of options.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and it must be frustrating for Joe Root. It's not been Leach's series, not by any means. I mean, I think he's really struggled. He just looks short of confidence as well, and you know, belief, whatever. And that moment could have been a lift for him. People will watch that, I think. If you see the replay, if you see the highlights, whatever, BBC Sport website or on BT, you see it in slow motion. You'll think, oh, he should have caught that. You know, he got a full right hand to it, and then it went away. But as you say, there was a triple deflection off the edge, obviously, edge of the bat. And then, I think, just caught Butler's elbow, and then onto his thigh, and then out to Root. And it, you're right, it wrong footsy. So it looks a straightforward catch, especially when you slow it down. All catches look quite straightforward in slow motion. But yeah, you're slightly wrong footed. You're trying to judge it. And also as well, the other thing, I mean, I was actually commentating on it live, and it actually went quickly. So it looks as though it went slowly. I mean, it probably went not quite as quick as some slip catches can go, but it actually went quickly enough. And you react, and some days you're able to either it just sticks, or you're able to knock it up and you can catch it on the rebound, and he wasn't able to do that. So I'm sure Root will think, yeah, I should have caught that. It was a chance, it was a big moment, and Leach would have been disappointed. But you're right, degree of difficulty, you know, much higher than some stroke many of the catches that England have dropped in this series so far.
One other kind of little interesting area, I thought, was just before tee, where both Root and then Milan came on to bowl. And at the time, Khawaja was in the 90s, and England had worked hard in that session to take three wickets and keep the run rate relatively low. And then I just felt they let Australia off the hook there. And it wasn't only England letting Australia off the hook, but it was also Cummins recognising his opportunity. And Milan bowling one over just before tee with Khawaja in the 90s. In fact, Khawaja didn't get on strike in that over. But Cummins recognised, here's a little opportunity. We've worked hard ourselves. We can capitalise on this. And two fours, instead of playing for tee and possibly, you know, getting a silly edge to slip or something, he bunted a four back over the bowler's head, Milan, and then hit a foolish ball back over his head really powerfully. And I thought that was a statement, in a way, of the alertness of Cummins and England just taking their eye off the ball for, you know, 10 minutes. Khawaja got to his 100. So the opportunity to, you know, put a bit of pressure on Khawaja just before tea and let him stew over his 100 during the tee interval was lost, plus those extra runs that Cummins managed to seize as well. Just, I thought England just missed a little opportunity there. And it's just little things like that that can help change the momentum of a game.
Yeah, it was Australia were up as they went off the tee. You know, the crowd were roaring. Khawaja had made his 100. You're right, Cummins has smacked a couple down the ground. It felt like the pressure was off. And Khawaja actually said afterwards in his television interview, he said, yeah, I mean, I would hate it to go on to tee on 99. It just felt as though they let him have some easy runs. There were 24 runs off three overs from the three spin bowlers. They just weren't able to just squeeze it in. And you're right, they had a pretty good afternoon session. They kept it tight. In fact, Australia never got away. I think that was a recognition of the fact that the pitch is not that easy. But I mean, Khawaja said afterwards, you know, it was a difficult pitch, which is always a great thing for a batter to say, isn't it? It was a tough old pitch. I made 137, but I don't think he was boasting. I think, you know, he was actually acknowledging it was hard work out there. And we should talk about him as well. I mean, you come back to, it's a sort of a late in your career, a bit of a fairy tale, really. He's been, you know, touring around the country, watching others play. He's been in the squad. He gets his chance because Travis Head's got COVID, and, you know, comes up with a comeback 100 2.5 years after he last played. And the last Test match he did play was watching Ben Stokes win the game for England at Headingley. But come back and play like that and be sort of instrumental in putting your side in a great position. At age of 35, he said, I've got nothing to prove. You know, I've enjoyed my career. You know, it's sort of a bit of a bonus today. But, you know, great memory for him. And another SCG 100, because he got one in the last time these two teams met 4 years ago, 171.
Why is it that left-handers always look better as well? He plays some lovely shots, which I'm sure lots of right-handers play, cover drives and cuts and things like that. But it somehow looks more graceful, doesn't it, when a left-hander does it? He's a lovely player to watch, lovely touch, recognises his opportunity. He's not a power player. He's more of a graceful timer of the ball, really. But, yeah, a lovely innings. And it just a very enjoyable innings to watch. Mm.
The other thing as well, and Australia have done this well in the series, you think of those Australian sides that dominated in the 90s and the 2000s, you think of the likes of Hayden and Gilchrist, Ponting, they like to score quickly. What Australia have done in this series is they've really chiselled out their runs. They batted with a tremendous amount of discipline. We saw it in Adelaide where, you know, it was a pretty dull first day, let's be honest, but they got into a position and they worked hard. And Khawaja did exactly the same thing today. He sort of took over the way Australia had been playing in this series. And you know, nothing particularly flashy, but dug in. 260 balls for his 137. He was, you know, he said, I was, you know, really tired by the end of the day's play. Tremendous concentration, longevity to his innings, you know, batting for, you know, most of the day. And, you know, setting up, you'd think, from this situation, a potential winning position for Australia.
So, a big challenge for England's batsmen tomorrow, 13 for naught, they resume on. And it's the kind of challenge that I'm sure our guest in the Virtual Cricket Club last night will recognise and remember. Nick Compton, who opened the batting for England in the early part of the last decade, quite successfully, 16 tests, averaged nearly 30, opened the batting with Alistair Cook. England won in India with Cook and Compton as the opening pair. He made 200s in his test career. He was dropped a couple of times and in the end never came back after the 16th test. And I think was probably a little bit harshly treated. I think he at times got a bit stuck with his batting, and he's a deep thinker and sometimes over-theorises, and it felt like he became a bit introverted and a bit too intense perhaps. Which is an unfair criticism, really, because you want an opening batsman to be pretty intense. It's a demanding job. Anyway, I thought we'd talk about the Ashes, and we'd talk about technique and why English batting has slumped, why there is not more technical expertise at the top of the order. Nobody since Joe Root has made his debut for England has averaged over 37, new players, that is. Compton, as I say, only averaged in the high 20s. But anyway, so we talked about technique. We talked about Hamid quite a bit. And he had some quite interesting things to say about the art of coaching too.
Firstly, Hamid, look, I see a guy who's desperate to succeed, a guy who's willing to go to the ends of the earth to practice, to put the time in. There's no doubt he does all of those and has the right attributes and what have you. The thing that worries me is 5 years ago, towards the end of my career at Middlesex, we played against Lancashire, and this is probably when he came back from India and he'd had some success, but then went through a big slump. And I stand at points and did for a large part of my career. And I think points are a great way to analyze technique. You know, you spend hours in 4 day games at grounds, and watching him sideways on was not upsetting, but was worrying, because what he was practicing after each ball, you know, you get some players who spend hours, you know, replaying a shot and a position, and they tend to do it for ages and ages. And watching him do that was worrying, because I was thinking to myself, who's teaching you this? I mean, who's given you these basics? Now, you've heard things like his father, or you know where their coaches at Lancashire, etc. But then having seen footage of him in this Ashes, I don't think anything's changed. And I think that for me is worrying, because there's been quite a lot of time where, yes, he's got a few more runs in the last year or two. Has he got enough to justify getting back into the England environment? Well, I don't think so. But then you also ask yourself the question, it shows an indictment on the others, you know, the fact that there's a small pool to select from. So, you know, a guy like Hamid gets 100 and everyone's suddenly saying, get him back in the England team. And you're thinking, hang on a minute, he's been in the bush for 3 years. He's got 100 or 200s, and suddenly it's, you know, he's back in the England fold. And there's a lot of pressure, one for a guy who I don't think was test ready. But saying that, watching him now, I think there are technical problems where what he's learnt and what he's taught, partly his own fault, but partly not his fault, partly through misinformation about what defence is, I think has got him into habits that I don't think will help him in Test cricket. And I think if I point out a few of them, one is there's a disengagement between his top half and his bottom half. So his bottom half doesn't really move, and you see a big gap between hands pushing out. They go down as if he's putting out a flame. You know, those are incorrect principles. He's trying to do them well. I mean, he does, his leaving's good. So you feel like there's a lot of good stuff there, but fundamentally the movement patterns are incorrect. And I think if he wants to reemerge again, and there's no reason why not. I mean, you could say he's been selected twice now. It doesn't work this time. Players are generally put on the scrap heap, but he's young enough. And I think there is a dearth of top order talent out there for him to come again. But that the question comes is, who's he going to do the work with? And does he acknowledge that the work needs to be done? I also think the standard of coaching needs to change, Yelza, if I'm honest with you. I think if you look around some of the counties, I don't think a lot of the coaches are properly qualified. And what I mean by that is, do they have a feel, a real feel for top level elite cricket, batting, bowling, fielding? And I would say I'm not sure about that. I think there's a lot of people, and that's not anything on them as people, that are involved in elite development at counties, at age group levels, who have hardly played the game, let alone had a feel for top level international cricket. And I think there's a big issue there. And I think that's where the whole system, I think, has promoted a matey, you know, develop within kind of promotion system. And fundamentally, you need people that know the game, that understand technique, who are with the 18, 19, 20 year old guys. I also wonder whether, you know, you talk about players working it out. I mean, quite often coaches don't want to interfere now because it's become very matey and because they've got into the system. I can promise you right now, I don't want a coach to say, you know, how are you feeling, Nick? Or, you know, what do you think you did wrong there? I mean, you know, I don't need to be asked that question. Come and tell me, grab me by the scruff of the neck, get me in the nets and tell me, I want to see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning because, you know, you're falling over and, you know, we need to work out what your leg's doing. Let's have a look at this. Let's discuss it and let's go forward and do some bloody hard work because that's the only way it's going to get better. I don't see that hard work and I don't see that level of communication. I think coaches keep players happy. They throw a huge amount of balls. They put the cones there. They sweat. They put in a hard day's work. But you're not paid 200 grand to throw cricket balls. I'm sorry, that's not coaching. So I don't feel that perhaps the advice is there. And I think coaches are very reticent to give the advice because if I tell Ollie Pope, mate, you can't bat like that against spin. I mean, his defense against spin is non-existent. I don't need to sit on another. I could phone him on a call now and teach him what to do there. But I mean, his play against spin is poor. It's been frenetic. He's been all over the place. What's going on? I don't know if coaches want to then come to Ollie Pope and say, you need to do X and Y, because if it goes wrong, I think players have got more power now and a coach might be moved aside. And why would you want to lose a coaching role when you're quite well looked after now, aren't you? You go from one coaching role to the next, you get a gig here doing the IPL, you then go to another way and you're basically, you know, facilitating. And I think that's where coaching has got to, in my opinion.
So I suppose Compton there, slightly questioning the art of coaching, suggesting that coaches don't ask the players difficult questions, that they are rather sort of yes men in a way, and that there isn't enough actual coaching being done at test level. It's a moot point. Can you coach a batsman at test level? Should he not already know what he's doing? And should he need someone? Is it helpful to have a coach kind of intruding on his method during a test series like this? Well, Rory Burns has been trying to change his method in the nets. Obviously, he's out of the side now, but Graham Thorpe has been working on his technique and the series is still alive. I think you can change things. You can't change fundamental things, but you know, should people be coached at test level? Well, I think yes, because there is a big gap between county cricket and test cricket, especially when you're playing Australia in Australian conditions. It does ask you different questions. There are more demanding things you have to deal with. And therefore, you do have to change your technique. And the experts, the players who've done it in the past, the likes of Graham Thorpe, can be a help in that sense, I think.
How much can you change quickly, though? I mean, is it possible to change something during a series? Because if you do change something, you know, reasonably important, surely you need to go away and work on it. And actually, you know, players do adapt. Players do change. We've had Joe Root, haven't we, talking in the Virtual Cricket Club and saying, yeah, you constantly need to adapt as a batter because people work you out, bowlers work you out, and you need to work on various things. And actually, after he did that, he's had fantastic. He had that fantastic year, didn't he? Because we spoke to him before 2021, so the back end of 2020, he was saying, yeah, I've been really working hard, and we... Yeah, presumably we saw the benefits last year with all that sort of glut of runs that he scored against all teams.
Yeah, I think you need time. Clearly, it's difficult to do it in the middle of a series to do things that are fundamental. I mean, what Root had there in this is sort of October 2020. He had a bit of time, so he got the team analyst to focus on all his dismissals between 30 and 70. And he looked at the methods of Kane Williamson and Virat Kohli in particular. But actually, I think what you can change is mindset and just decision-making as well. So, you can look at what balls can you leave? What balls... Look back at an innings and, say, well, actually, I could have left that ball, yes. What was I thinking at the time? Why did I play at that ball? And try and kind of learn from those mistakes. And maybe England are doing that, but there's not that much evidence of it. They're still, playing at balls, not necessarily this test match, but in previous couple of tests, playing at balls they don't need to play at and playing shots which are not particularly good shots for those situations or those conditions. So I think, coaching can be more intrusive than it is, but clearly basic technical things are difficult to change during the middle of a series.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression that coaching is about that these days. It is more about mindset, isn't it? I mean, I've talked to Mark Rambrakash. He said, we the way we coach now is you don't, when a player is out, you don't go into the dressing room 10 minutes after they're dismissed by a terrible shot and say, why did you do that? But you ask them later, you talk to them later in the net, so what were you thinking when you were playing that shot? What was the lead up to that? And there's much more focus on that these days than actually, do you know something? You need to do this. Your left foot is coming down the wrong, or your back lift is wrong, or whatever. You're coming across the ball. I mean, obviously, if you see something as fundamental as that, I'm sure that will creep in. But it's much more about that, isn't it? It's much more about how you think, how you approach the innings.
I think actually that every cricketer should spend some time in the commentary box, TV commentary box, ideally, because there so often you hear players who retired doing their punditry and coming into the TV commentary box and going, wow, I didn't realise that, you saw this, or that there is this expertise, or that somebody pointed this out. I didn't realise that was happening. And I've learned so much. They go, I learned so much from being in the TV box. Well, what's the use of that when you've retired? So I would love to see more players being allowed to spend a bit of time. I mean, I know it's not easy because they're playing, but maybe if they're out or something, they can go and spend a bit of time in a commentary box, just kind of observing, maybe contributing a bit. I know Sky try to do that, and it's worked quite well occasionally. But I think I would recommend more players study TV commentary and actually spend a bit of time with commentators, and because they've got great stuff to say and interesting stuff to say, and sometimes they can say things that coaches building a very close relationship with a player can't say as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the practicalities of that. I mean, there are obvious,
COVID, COVID for one.
Well, that was that. But I mean, are you suggesting players do that in the middle of a game or just?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not easy, to find the time to do it, and I'm sure it's not. It's a bit of a left field suggestion. I agree. It's practically not that easy, but it's worth thinking about anyway.
So a player comes to the commentary box and a former great of the game says, actually, well, look, if you just look at your dismissal, we're going to show it to you four different ways and nine different angles. This is what you should have done. And I don't know, does a player want to be
probably not
exposed to that during a game?
I mean, probably not. I know that I know we're going back a long time, but I know if I'd made mistakes as a bowler, I do want people to show it to me and say, look, the grip's wrong, or your left arm isn't coming down enough, or whatever. I do want people to talk about it. Some players are better at receiving information than others. That's undoubtedly true.
That's right, isn't it? Some players, inevitably will be sponges. Go, please help me. What a fantastic piece of advice. Well, I hadn't seen that. Others will go, I don't need to be told. I mean, different people, it's different ways, isn't it? I'm just thinking back to England coaches of the past. I mean, Duncan Fletcher, for example, was acknowledged to be a good and successful coach for England, really helped take the game forward, it seemed to me. It's a really interesting person. You talk about being in the broadcasting box, when he summarised for Test Match Special. It was really interesting to be with him, listen to his theories on the game. I once heard him do a brilliant session during a rain break at the end of an India Test series when the game was abandoned. He came up to the Test Match Special commentary box for half an hour and he talked about the game, and it was absolutely fascinating and great insights. But he didn't go to players and say, you must do this, you must do that. He waited, didn't he? He waited and watched and perhaps waited for players to make mistake after mistake after mistake and then say, have you thought about doing it like this, or let's do this. And he did actually bring about some technical changes in the way, for example, that England played against spin bowling.
Yeah, I mean, he did suggest the forward press in the early 2000s. So that was a little step forward before the spinner let go of the ball. And several of the England batsmen in the top order took that on and found it helped and enabled them to win a test match in Lahore, which England had never done. So, he was able, I think, to almost sometimes sit back and just absorb things and gently apply ideas, but then occasionally bring in something which was quite a sort of team-wide ethic, like the forward press, which everyone adopted.
Well, what is clear from this discussion and discussions we've had since Melbourne and reading newspapers and listening to interviews is that, there's a lot of, and also listening to supporters as well. They're obviously frustrated with how England have got on. There are a lot of suggestions, ideas floating about. And that's good in a way because it's got people going, hasn't it? England's defeat here. People say, we don't want to see this happening. We at least want England to go abroad to the Ashes or go to India or whatever and be competitive. There's a sort of feeling out there. So I think what we need is some sort of synthesis of ideas, and there do need to be lessons learned. What does need to change, but it's not knee-jerk, not for the sake of it, but with great thought and insight really into how the England Test team and the English game in general can be improved.
Absolutely. And two things to say. One, that it does show how tough batting in Test cricket is. It is unbelievably tough. One tiny mistake and your innings and your possibly career is over. And secondly, let's just remember, okay, England are struggling in this Ashes series, but they're the number one T20 team in the world and they're the World Cup holders, as probably the best white ball team in the world. So it's not all doom and gloom about English cricket. We are not very good against the red ball, especially overseas at the moment. But there are remedies out there, which I think over time will be found. It's just, as you say, getting all those bits of information together and making a sensible plan. The sensible plan for tomorrow for England is to bat all day. Let's hope they can.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for them. We'll be back this time tomorrow to review the third day of the Sydney Test match. Big challenge ahead for England. Are they up to it? Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky.
No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.